The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings. When your relapsing multiple sclerosis begins to change, how you treat it should change too. Think beyond relapses and choose a treatment that can help delay disability progression. Find out more at changesinrms.com.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge. As a rare neuromuscular disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading flash briefings for multiple sclerosis. Here's an article by Somi Igberner. Pain, fatigue, anxiety, common in first year after CIS-MS diagnosis. People newly diagnosed with clinically isolated syndrome, or CIS, or multiple sclerosis, MS, frequently experience pain, fatigue, depression, and anxiety in the first year after diagnosis, a new study finds. Fatigue was reported by almost two-thirds of new patients, and half experienced pain. Many individuals experienced multiple symptoms simultaneously, an analysis showed. The months following MS diagnosis are often a stressful period of uncertainty and change. Thomas Valentine, PhD, the study's lead author, said in a press release. Our findings highlight the importance of early and routine assessment of patients' symptoms so that those patients who might benefit from treatment can be identified and receive appropriate care, Valentine said. The study, Prevalence, Co-occurrence, and Trajectories of Pain, Fatigue, Depression, and Anxiety in the Year Following Multiple Sclerosis Diagnosis, was published in the Multiple Sclerosis Journal. Like many diseases, MS affects individual patients differently. Some people experience relapses or periods in which one or more symptoms appear or worsen, followed by periods of partial or complete recovery. Others, conversely, have symptoms that progressively worsen with or without relapses. Pain, fatigue, depression, and anxiety are all common symptoms in people with MS. However, the co-occurrence of these symptoms is unclear, as is how they evolve in the year following diagnosis. To learn more, a team of researchers at Michigan Medicine, University of Michigan in the U.S., assessed questionnaires self-completed by 230 adults with CIS or MS. The questionnaires asked about disease symptoms 1, 2, 3, 6, and 9 months after diagnosis, and at the one-year mark. The results showed that 50.9% of respondents experienced pain and 62.6% fatigue. Mental health symptoms were only slightly less common, with 47.4% reporting depression and 38.7% experiencing anxiety. Notably, many participants experienced multiple symptoms simultaneously. 21.3% experienced two symptoms, while 19.1% reported three and 17.4% reported four symptoms. These results speak to the need for comprehensive screening, said Valentine, an MS Rehabilitation Research Fellow at Michigan Medicine. One symptom can cause or aggravate other symptoms. Fatigue, in particular, tends to cluster with pain, depression, and anxiety. These findings should guide clinical visits and be used in determining patient care, Valentine said. If, for example, a patient reports significant fatigue, they should also be asked if they are experiencing pain and other symptoms, he said. The researchers noted that targeted symptom management is also key to improving quality of life. There is no cure for MS. Instead, its management relies on disease-modifying therapies that aim to prevent or reduce relapses. However, personalized treatment approaches that consider individual symptoms may be more beneficial, the researchers said, based on this study's findings. Clusters of symptoms, as seen in many patients in the first year after MS diagnosis, can seem challenging but may also present opportunity to identify treatments that address multiple symptoms at once, said Anna Kratz, PhD, the study's co-author and an associate professor of physical medicine and rehabilitation at Michigan Medicine. For instance, antidepressants can help with both mood and somatic symptoms. When clinicians see these clusters of symptoms, their minds should turn to the options that interdisciplinary rehabilitation care can offer to address multiple symptoms at once, Kratz added. Recent studies have found that special diets or multivitamins can help to ease symptoms, specifically those related to fatigue. After studying how the participants' symptoms changed over the one-year period following diagnosis, the researchers found that although some patients with severe symptoms remained stable, symptom development and recovery rates varied between patients. Some individuals who did not feel pain or fatigue in the first month after diagnosis reported it later on, while others who experienced depression or anxiety early did not report them later. These changes were very modest, suggesting that dramatic increases in symptoms are unlikely in the first year after diagnosis for those patients for whom MS presents a mild symptom burden. Overall, the team concluded that pain, fatigue, depression, and anxiety are prevalent in newly diagnosed MS, and suggested that prompt screening and evidence-based interventions are necessary if quality of life is to be optimized. The team noted that future studies should examine the links between progressive changes in symptom severity, disease activity, disability, and treatment, as this could help optimize the determination of therapies and symptom prevention strategies for people with early MS. Finding the factors that predict symptom clustering, stability, and change will help healthcare providers match prevention and treatment programs to patients, Valentine said. Valentine concluded, quote, "We have many effective treatments, but more research is needed to optimize these tools for people with MS. This is particularly true for people early in diagnosis, which may prove to be an optimal time to initiate symptom prevention strategies."
You always do what you can to keep your relapsing multiple sclerosis in check. But if your relapsing MS is starting to change, it can affect your mind and body in new and different ways. So it's important to choose a treatment that goes beyond relapses, one that can help you stay ahead of disability progression. Take charge of your relapsing multiple sclerosis. Learn more at changesinrms.com.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge. As a rare neuromuscular disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading the column by Ed Tobias, MS Wire. Are generic and brand name pills created equal? I take a bunch of pills every day. Most of them are generics. I've used baclofen to treat my leg spasticity, oxybutynin for my bladder, and modafinil to fight fatigue. There's also atorvastatin to keep my cholesterol in check, and levothyroxine to do the same for my thyroid levels. All are generics. Over the years, I've read many social media comments from people questioning whether generics are as effective as brand name medications. Just a few days ago, I read a comment on a Facebook multiple sclerosis group from a woman who said she became ill when she switched from a brand name disease-modifying therapy to its generic version. But I've always ignored comments like that. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration says that generic medications are, quote, just as safe and effective as their brand name counterparts. In the U.S., 9 out of 10 prescriptions are filled using generics. My doctors have prescribed generics for me for years, never questioning their efficacy. Generics are certainly less expensive than brand-name drugs, and the latter might not even be covered by your insurance. My Medicare Part D plan charges $93 for a 90-day supply of Synthroid, a synthetic thyroid hormone. While it's generic, levothyroxine is only $3. Ditropan, to treat my overactive bladder, isn't covered by my Medicare Part D plan, but its generic, oxybutynin, is. The same is true for Provigil versus modafinil. But lower costs shouldn't mean lower quality, right? Are generics and brand names really equal? A recent New York Times opinion piece has made me wonder whether a generic is in fact as good as a brand name. In 1984, U.S. lawmakers allowed pharmaceutical companies to duplicate brand name medications whose patents had expired without conducting clinical trials for those generics. All they needed to do was prove the generics worked similarly to the brand names and show that good production practices were being followed. But Times editorial board member Ferris Stockman believes that in order to keep their generics cost competitive, pharmaceutical companies have been cutting corners, which includes shifting to overseas production and material sourcing. According to Stockman, an overall quality control problem exists now. Cost versus quality. The truth is, a pill is just not a pill, Stockman writes. A pill that was made in a top-notch factory with a spotless track record is better than one that was made in a plant that barely passed inspection. A pill that was stored in a cool, dark place is better than one left baking on an airport tarmac for weeks. Stockman supports this belief by pointing to incidents such as the discovery of a probable carcinogen found in valsartan, a generic drug used to treat high blood pressure, and to some patients treated in New Zealand for depression who reported that their conditions worsened when the country's National Health Service switched to a generic. Did my quality fade? The New England problem makes me wonder about my own medications. Over the past few years, I gave up on some of my meds, thinking they'd lost their effectiveness after many years of use. I no longer use modafinil to treat my fatigue, or oxybutynin for my bladder problems. I wonder if their reduced efficacy occurred because the medications were generics and their production quality deteriorated over the years. I also wonder if brand names might work better and whether I should try them again. I might, if I can afford them.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.